Brad Alexander, let's talk about two stories. Let's do an update on Belarus as to what's going on. Let's also talk about Navalny. We've mentioned Navalny in the past. You'll explain who he is. He's, I mean, real short, he's the most viable opposition to Putin, according to the Western media. He's the most viable. Inside of Russia, he is absolutely not the strongest or the most viable opposition to Vladimir Putin. That would probably be the Communist Party that's probably has the strongest position after Vladimir Putin and the main party, the main ruling party of parliament in Russia. But anyway, Navalny's been poisoned, or he's had all kinds of stuff happen to him in the past, poisoned or arrested, and it's a never-ending story, it seems to me. And now here he is again. He says he was poisoned while he was flying from, I believe, Omsk, from Moscow to Omsk, Siberia, or from Siberia to Moscow. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was drinking tea. He said, once again, the evil Kremlin poisoned him. Now the doctors are coming out and they're saying that it wasn't poisoned, but it's some metabolic disease. Anyway, Alexander, I don't really want to give too much oxygen to this because I don't think it's that huge of a story, especially inside Russia. Maybe it's more interesting to people outside Russia, given Navalny's probably more popular outside Russia. But I'll get into this story and break it down.
I mean, you're absolutely right in what you've just said. I mean, there are many people in Russia who are critical of Vladimir Putin for all sorts of reasons. The biggest party which opposes him is the Communist Party. The most popular opposition politician to him is a man called Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who is on the nationalist right and who criticizes Putin from, patriotic nationalist perspectives. Navalny isn't even on the radar as far as most Russians are concerned. He was a blogger. He began an anti-corruption website called Rospil some years ago, about 8 or 9 years ago. That gained a certain amount of traction. He then branched out into politics. It then became very clear that he was a neoliberal pro-Western politician. That's not a kind of politics that's going to attract much favor amongst people in Russia. He tried to tack to the right by taking up nationalist positions. But of course, the nationalists in Russia, of whom there are many, didn't buy it. So he's, in fact, a divisive and unpopular figure. He doesn't get more in national opinion polls than, fractions of 1% of the vote. So, I mean, he is simply not an important person. But what he has tried to do is he's tried to set up a network. He was touring, various places in Siberia in ahead of local elections in the autumn, where network is expected again to do very, very badly. He arrived in a city called Tomsk, which is in Siberia. He had tea at the airport cafe, got onto the plane, and fell ill. Now, always and invariably, whenever that happens, the story is that, he was poisoned by the Kremlin or by agents of the Kremlin or by people connected to the Kremlin in some way. I don't take that at all seriously. I don't believe it for one moment for two reasons. Firstly, he is no conceivable threat to the Kremlin. And secondly, as it happens, over the last year or so, his star, which is already pretty dim, has been fading. I mean, he's had to close down his Rospil news site because he's now beset by legal actions brought by various people who claim he's libeled them. He's had financial problems. His popularity, such as it was, even in Moscow, seemed to have faded. I cannot see why the Kremlin, even if you assume the worst of the Kremlin, would waste its time and effort and time, coming after someone like Navalny. I mean, at the moment, they've got, real opponents to worry about, places like Khabarovsk. We talked about that a short while ago. We've got nationalists here. We've got communists there. Navalny is just an irrelevance. Now, he's been taken to this hospital in Tomsk. They've done tests on him there. They found no toxic substance in his blood. Also, There's a video which has turned up, you know, CCTV footage of him drinking the tea, and it was brought to him by an aide from a cafe who would have, the cafe would have had no idea that, you know, it was meant for Navalny. So it's difficult to see how anybody could have put a dose of anything in that tea. And there are German doctors there who will, I am sure, corroborate the diagnosis, which is that this is some kind of metabolic disorder that he suffers from. So, you know, I think this is much ado about nothing in terms of political news. Obviously, when a man's life is in the balance, that is a serious matter for him and for his family and for his friends, and one wishes him well. But to imagine or suppose that there's some dark conspiracy behind it, I just don't believe it.
Yeah. Let's leave it there, Alexander, and let's move on to what I think is a much more interesting story, which is the latest update from Belarus and Lukashenko speaking with Macron. I mean, Lukashenko is, you know, love him or hate him, he is a colorful character. There's no doubt about it. And every now and then he says it like it is. So, I mean, he provides some good sound bites. Anyway, we did a video. I'm sure if you guys have seen that video, look for it. We posted it the other day, which was a pretty comprehensive update to what's happening in Belarus. And we have some more comments between Lukashenko and Macron. Give us an update, Alexander.
Well, I mean, you know, he's Macron offered to mediate. And I think I sent you Lukashenko's hilariously funny comment. Let me see if I can just find it quickly.
Do you have it, or you want me to,
read it out for
all right.
Viewers.
Okay, I've got it on my phone here. Okay, so let me read you the message that you sent me, actually, because it's kind of funny. And then let me read you the quote from TASS. Is it not that you got it from?
No, okay. It's from TASS, but it's now all over the Russian internet.
Okay. Okay, so you sent me a message. You said, Lukashenko is many things, but he is not stupid, and he has a sense of humor. This is what he's just said about Macron, and I quote, Macron has said he wants to mediate negotiations in Belarus. Well, let me first be a mediator between the Yellow Vests and Macron. The situation there is, God save us, awful, with terror and the Yellow Vests. He, referring to Macron, sees nothing.
There we go. He is a character. And, you know, we said in our last video that things are now beginning to swing more in his favor. The trend seems to be continuing. At the moment, there was a protest last night, but it was quite small, and apparently there were people out going around in the cars around the protest and the honking support in there, you know, for Lukashenko. So, and it seems the strikes have faded out. It's not over, not by any means, but he's fighting back. He's making these witty comments. He's gone to another industrial facility. He's addressed the workers there. He's also, by the way, because there was an attempt to get workers at the national television station to come out and support the opposition. And in fact, what he did was he got technical people from Russia to come into the TV station and kept it operating. So he's fighting back, and he seems to be winning. And, you know, this isn't how it looked a week ago. But it's very typical of Lukashenko. If you go on to, the Belarusian news, it's such a contrast to the way that, say, President Yanukovych handled the situation or mishandled the situation in Ukraine back in 2013-14. I mean, you know, Yanukovych was almost invisible. He hardly came out. He hardly spoke. He hid behind his riot police. He was constantly temporizing. He was talking all the time to Joe Biden, by the way. That was his major Western interlocutor. Lukashenko is on television all the time. He's visiting factories. He's talking to people. He's coming out strongly in support of his police. He's ridiculing the various opposition leaders. He spoke of Tikhanovskaya as his, you know, really nice mother who's completely over her head, doesn't have a clue what she's doing, and how he's personally made sure that she was safe and taken into Lithuania, where she's now fallen into the spider's web of the Lithuanian foreign ministry. He's saying this is exactly the kind of things that he says. So, I mean, he's a character. He's been tough. He's been brave. As I said, he's confronted protesters himself head on. And as I said, he's done something which I find quite remarkable, is that, you know, he refuses to speak to the European Union or to Angela Merkel or to the US. So, I mean, he just won't take their calls. He sends them all off to Putin, who, as we discussed, gives them a stiff talking to. But Lukashenko just won't speak to these people. So, as I said, he seems to be winning ground. It's not over, not by a long way. You know, lots could happen. Some people in Russia, some Russian analysts are saying this is going to last a week. Others say it will go on until October, when Lukashenko is due to be re-inaugurated as president. But we will see how it turns out. But at the moment, he seems to be winning.
All right. We'll leave it there. But real quick, Alexander, I don't know if you've been following this story very quickly, because we have mentioned Macron. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the coup in Mali.
Absolutely. I'm very much aware of the coup in Mali.
Yeah, because it does affect France and Macron, because they are heavily involved in Mali. I just want to maybe say, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, however long, just let me read a title from BBC. Mali's coup is cheered at home, but upsets neighbors. This was posted 6 hours ago. Mm. And it just says that negotiations are rumored to be underway for the exile of Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, deposed as president of Mali in a military putsch on Tuesday and currently detained with his son, his prime minister, Boubou Cisse, and a number of other senior government officials. And so, you know, France is heavily involved. It's been fighting, actually, jihadists in the area. And France is a colonial, from what I understand, it's a colonial power, a historical colonial power in Mali. So, you know, Macron has had quite a week. Anyway, Alexander, do you have any quick thoughts on this?
There's a lot you could actually say about this, but briefly, this is French West Africa, very much part of the French colonial empire until the 1960s, when it became free. But the French still essentially are the dominant power there, pulling the strings behind the scenes. This president who has just been deposed was very much their man in Mali. He was very much somebody that they wanted to install. If you remember, back in 2011, when Gaddafi's government was overthrown in Libya, in large part because of French intervention, this triggered a massive political crisis in North Africa that led to an upsurge of jihadist activity, with jihadist fighters pouring from Libya into northern Mali. Mali is this very divided country. Parts of it in the north are, you know, Arabic or Islamic in culture. Further south, it's, you know, more African. Anyway, the result was that, as I said, there was a split. The jihadists seemed to be well on the way to marching on the capital. The French intervened to stop that, to block that. There's been a war ever since. This president was then brought into power at that time, basically to give political cover to the French. He proved deeply corrupt, very incompetent, and he's now been the subject of large protests in Mali, which have ended with a military coup. So it's made the whole French position in Mali, which, to be clear, is the big country in French West Africa, has made the whole position of France much more precarious than it had been up to now. And on top of that, of course, we still have a big ongoing jihadi insurgency there. So it's a big, big worry for Macron. Macron had two brains to rub together. He'd be much more concerned about the situation in Mali than he would be about the situation in Belarus.
Bear
in mind, I mean, there's two things to say. Firstly, well, I mean, obviously, France has a lot of economic interests there. But if Mali were to fall under a jihadist, rule, that would be a massive geopolitical disaster. And of course, if we're looking about prolonged wars and a complete breakdown in French West Africa, we would be looking at millions of refugees. And where would they go? Well, they would go to the obvious place, which is the former colonial master, which is France. So, as I said, he's got a lot to worry about there, and that's what he should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sarkozy, Cameron, Hillary Clinton, they just unleashed hell when they destabilized Libya. Yes. And now we're just seeing the domino effect of it all.
Correct. Absolutely correct. That's entirely right.
All right. Great that we covered this story as well, because I think it's an important story. And your insight was really, really good there, Alexander, because not many, I doubt many YouTubers are covering what's going on in Mali. No. And it is an important story, especially for Macron and France.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, guys, we'll leave it there. PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, star. Please donate to us. What else? Subscribe. Hit that red subscribe button if you like this video. When you subscribe to our channel, then you get notified every time we push out a new video. We try to put up anywhere between 1, 2, sometimes 3 videos a day. Usually 2 videos a day we get up. Usually now we're ramping things up a little bit. And, of course, the Durant Shop. Pick up some magic mugs.
Yeah.
I know you've also got some new enamel mugs as well.
Enamel mugs as well. Here we are with Germany. And it's always there. And, of course, you can see the wonderful new shirt I'm wearing, which has got the flag of the United Kingdom there. They're absolutely amazing shirts. And you'll find embroidered hats and baseball hats and all kinds of truckers' hats, I think. Yes. You'll find them all on the shop. They're just looking amazing. So come to our shop and see all the great things that are there now.
Yeah, durantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Thank you very much. Take care.